It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and as always, we're really glad you joined us.
It is wintertime.
It is.
It has set in. The holidays are over, and sometimes people don't feel like doing much right now.
It's dreary, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Do you like that kind of dreary time of the year? Does that make you want to go sleep or something, or
well,
eat carbs?
It doesn't get me down, but I can do without it, though.
It is a tough time of year, especially when you live in latitudes where you don't see the sun much.
Right.
You leave work in the dark, and then you come home, and it's dark.
Well, I do want to ask you this, since we've come out of the holidays, and we are now in full-blown winter. During the holiday season, we saw and heard a number of stories about the heightened risk of suicide and depression. But you say that this is a myth, and that the risk of both suicide and depression is now after the holidays.
That's exactly right. You always see stories on this, Chris, and we resisted doing it because the media says people get so depressed during the holidays and that's the worst time. And yet if you think about it, people are going to different things. Mm. There's a lot of cheer in the stores, walking around. And even if you're down, there are places and moments with all the Christmas and holiday time that can pull you up. So now, after the holiday, is when we begin to think about the increasing risk of suicide and depression. People are the most likely to get depressed after the holiday. So we want to make that clear, not during. In fact, the suicide rate is the lowest during the month of December.
Wow, that's interesting. So why do we keep thinking that the holidays are the high risk time?
We think that sometimes what happens is that because there's a certain type of depression that we're going to talk about today that revs up in the fall and may peak, it seems, during the holiday season, but it's really a type of depression that starts in the fall. It's called seasonal affective disorder. And we'll talk about it as SAD, because the seasonal affective disorder, that's the acronym for that, is SAD.
Right.
And it's a sad feeling that people are having. And so that type of depression begins and people start putting on weight. They notice that they sleep more. And then when spring starts to come, they start to feel better. A professor at Tufts University says this: it may be that these post-holiday attempts, the suicide attempts that we're hearing about in the January and February months, are mostly cries for help, such as a minor overdose. Just think about it. You've gone through the holiday, you've dealt with your family, and then there's this after the holiday, and a letdown, you don't see people as much. Then is when people start to feel hopeless. He calls it the broken promise hypothesis. Things aren't going to get better. It's not going to go well with me. I had these unrealistic expectations that the holiday was going to be great and change things. And then here I am in January, February, and I'm facing the harsh realities.
Let me ask you this. Is there a difference in feeling down, or what we sometimes call the winter blues, and then depression?
That's a great question, because a lot of people feel the winter blues. I think I'm one of those people where I feel like, I can't wait till spring, but I'm not having those specific symptoms of depression. If you find yourself not able to get out of bed, you are craving carbohydrates, you are sleeping more, you are eating more, you got to go and do something else. Because now we're talking more than the winter blues. We're talking about this reaching a clinical depression level. And seasonal affective disorder, SAD, is depression.
Wow.
If your feelings of depression begin in the fall and winter and then go away in spring, or this will really surprise you. If you start feeling depressed in spring and summer and the depression goes away in fall, you have what we call a seasonal type of depression.
Interesting. So I can speak to this. I've got a neighbor, Jim, and as soon as it cools down in the fall, you don't see him again.
He's hibernating?
He's a bear.
He's a bear.
He goes away.
He's gone.
He eats all winter. And then in summer, he comes out, he has to go exercise and lose some weight.
Jim, we're going to offer an apology at the end of the show.
Jim said, hey, wait, is he talking about me? But what happens to me is when spring rolls around, I get this anxiety every spring that hits, lasts for about a month, then goes away. But it's almost backward.
And I did say that there is a spring-summer version of this fall-winter type of depression that we're talking about. And this is because this depression is based on the biological sensitivity that some people have to light. Some people react when they get too little light, which is the winter, which is now. And then other people react when there's too much light. That's why we're talking about a spring summer version of that, because there's an excess of light that is bothering them and causing them to be depressed.
It's interesting. T.S. Eliot wrote, April is the cruelest month. He must have experienced or seen this pattern like what you're talking about.
With the mood and the light of people. Yeah,
that
seasonal.
Had, he had to start mowing grass.
Yes. Wasn't his happy time.
Depressing too, right?
He was quite insightful because the highest risk of suicide is in the spring. It starts to rev up in the fall and the winter, and you're starting to get worse and worse and worse. The highest risk is right there in that beginning part of spring. There's a smaller peak in the early fall and winter, like we talked about. But that one doesn't usually lead to suicide, whereas the spring one of the parts of this depression could be if you have bipolar. Sometimes what happens if you have bipolar depression, which is where people get revved up and then they go really low. So they call it manic depressive. People have heard that term before. Sometimes what happens if you have this seasonal pattern and you are bipolar, you can get worse and it can rev up during that springtime. And that's why we think there are more suicides in the summer or that springtime, because people are reacting to that sensitivity to light. It's a little complicated. I'm not trying to make it too complicated for you here, but there basically are two types of depressions, what we call unipolar, which is the ones that people are the most familiar with. You're persistently depressed. Then there are types of depression called bipolar, where you have these high manic cycles where you're shopping all the time, you're talking all the time, you don't want to sleep, you're it's what we'd call super hyper. And then you drop to this really low. This type of depression that we're talking about, which is seasonal, can hit either of those categories.
Wow.
It makes the mania worse in the bipolar, but it can also be a seasonal pattern of the type of depression that you could have. Hope that clarifies it. It sounds a little bit complicated, but it's a form of depression that involves mood cycling. A person depressed with sad has the seasonal pattern to their depression, and that seasonal pattern has to be more prominent than any other type of depression that they're having.
Wow.
We got to think about that and start thinking, when do I get depressed? Does it hold a seasonal pattern? That will be a clue.
Before we go to the break, you found a stat that said 7.2% of people experience sad, but 20.2% experience winter blues. A lot more people get the blues, but they're not necessarily clinically depressed.
That's right. And a reason for that has more to do with that the winter blues are tied to where you live in terms of the latitudes. Maine, when I was in Maine visiting my dad, it got dark at 4:15 in the afternoon. That is depressing just in of itself,
whether
you feel clinical depressed or not. A lot more people have the blues. And I remember living in Chicago, same thing we talked about. I'd get up in the morning. I'd go to work in the dark. I'd come home in the dark. I'd never see the light of day. And that can make you a little bit down.
Does it matter if you're older or younger, whether this affects you more?
I'm glad you asked that, because there's more of a risk if you're in the age range of 18 to 30. So surprisingly, it hits younger people in a more predominant way. And women have it more so than men, and those with a family history of depression. For winter depression, that January and February are definitely the most difficult months for people that have that fall-winter depression.
Right, very interesting. Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. When we come back, we'll talk about how light affects our mood since we are in those shorter, wintry days. More on this when we come back. Hey, it's Chris Weigel here. If you missed the Dr. Linda Mental Show, you can catch up by reading her blogs or listening to her podcast on the MyFaithRadio.com website.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I want to remind you that Dr. Linda has written a pocket-sized book on this topic called Breaking Free from Depression. And speaking of this topic, let's get right back into it. The light and the mood.
They're connected.
Light and mood are connected. It's winter, so we have less light. And why can this bring on depression in some people?
I don't want to get too complicated with me. My producer told me I was starting to sound like a clinician on the radio, so I don't want to do that. The depression has to do with the sensitivity that we all have to the light. Now, some people don't have it. You could be living in sunny Georgia,
right,
and you could still be affected or not be affected. Depends on if you have this sensitivity to the light. The light affects people that have that sensitivity. That's the important point.
If you were born near the Arctic Circle, for example, and you live there your entire life, since you're born into it, would it be less apt to happen?
No, it has to do with your biology and that sensitivity, because it has to do with the way the light goes through the optic nerve and does all this stuff to the brain that's way too complicated. But I have a nephew and a brother who live in Maine, and they love it up there. And they get no light. And they just think it's great in the winter. And I get up there, and after a week of visiting, I'm like, take me to the Caribbean or do something. They don't have that sensitivity. But there are people in Maine who do, and that's what you have to figure out is, am I just having the blues? Am I feeling a little lethargic and not real excited, not motivated? A lot of us want to eat carbs in the winter because it's comfort food. It makes us feel better. But it's not till it crosses over to the point where it's interfering with your daily activities, where you're starting to say, I can't get up for work, or I'm overeating and I can't get control of it. So we want to understand that the winter blues affects a lot more people, but another portion of people will have this insensitivity to light and will struggle during these winter months.
Dr. Lynn, I've got an uncle that puts aluminum foil on his window.
Really?
Because he doesn't like any light to come in while he's asleep in his bedroom. How does light affect the sleep cycles and that type of thing?
So he's doing some of that sleep hygiene that we talk about. People that have trouble falling asleep at night, a lot of times will say darken the windows, put on some soft music, get yourself powered down, don't get on your devices, because all those devices with the lights impact your sleep, so that's bad for you. We need light to keep our sleep and our waking cycle on rhythm. We need to have light. That's why light is so important. And when our sleep gets impaired, when we're not sleeping well, we can become depressed from that if we have that light sensitivity. This is another clue. What's going on with your sleep cycle? Are you struggling to fall asleep? Are you sleeping forever and not wanting to get up or whatever? In the spring and the summer, when there's a lot of light and there's a longer duration of sleep, that is an indication then that with people that are sensitive that they need to get up and get moving and they're not.
Right.
Light and sleep are all related. And the good news is that you've got to look at your sleep cycle for anything, because that's going to affect a lot of your mood no matter what.
What's interesting is some of the highest suicide rates in the United States have always been on the West Coast around San Diego.
I know,
all places.
See?
Right.
See?
It's been like this for 100 years, and despite all the different cultural and social changes, is this related to light?
See, this is what they're thinking. This is why people are so surprised when they hear there's a form of this type of seasonal depression in the spring and the summer, because that's exactly what they're thinking. There's a lot of people who are in those sunny California areas that are getting too much of the light. The same thing happens. People get insomnia in the summer and the spring. They lose their appetite. It's the opposite. So the fall and the winter, we get an increased appetite. We want to sleep more, and we're eating because we're craving carbohydrates. It's seasonal, And that's the key, seasonal.
Well, short of packing up and moving, what do you do about that?
Well, it depends. You might move to the sunny climate, and that's not good for you either, right?
Yeah.
Let's unpack it. If you experience the fall winter sad that we're talking about this time of year, the key is to get more light, get more light exposure. You would be the type of person, if you had that you'd want to lift your shades right away in the morning and get that natural light. You would want to go out, and if you have sunglasses on, you want to take them off for part of the day so the light can get in through the eye into your brain. People don't think about that. Yeah. I wear sunglasses all the time in the winter.
Right.
But if I had that seasonal affective disorder, I would need to take them off and let the natural light in. Find the sun is the idea. Sit by a window where there's sun. Mm-hmm. Take a walk in the sun. Do something to get yourself more exposed to sunlight.
So that's fall, winter, sad. What about summer, spring, sad?
It's the opposite. Too much light. Pull down the shades. Minimize the early morning light, make the room really dark, and then avoid the sun and wear sunglasses all the time.
Huh.
Some people can use an eye mask to keep the sun out.
People use light boxes in their homes or maybe where they work. Do those work?
A lot of people have heard about this. If you're in a job and you're in the inner office where you never see the light of day, like you are, you're down there with no light where you are.
It's in a dungeon.
It is. But if you're like that, then you might want to buy one of these light boxes. You can talk to a mental health person or a physician. They'll tell you what kind to buy, but they're specially for this kind of thing.
Right.
You put them on in the morning, you use them for a period of time, and they give you the light that you need in the morning to make up for that light that you're not getting during the day.
Well, they come in two forms. You've got light boxes and then dawn simulators.
Yeah, the dawn simulators are kind of cool. Have you ever seen one of those?
Actually, I've not, no.
It's a little machine. You put it up by your bed, and you don't even have to have your eyes open for this one, but it simulates the dawn. It wakes you up as if the dawn were in your window. Think about it. If you're living in a big apartment someplace and you get no light in your apartment, you could put one of these dawn simulators in, and you would feel better. I've had a lot of patients who have used these and see immediate differences in the way that that works with their mood.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
But it can take up to 1 to 2 weeks for this to take
place. Yeah, it can. It takes a little bit longer usually for most people to feel the effect.
Also, I heard treat the light box as you would the sun. You don't look directly.
Yeah, don't stare into it. I did have a patient come in one time and said, I was staring at the light. And I said, did you get a headache?
Yeah.
It's bad for your eyes. You don't stare at the sun.
Right.
So you wouldn't want to do that with the light box either. Use it like you would the sun.
Right.
Before we go to break, I do want to say one word about medications because people are always asking about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have this type of depression, some people may need to do more than the light. Some people might have to go and get medication for this. Light therapy is sometimes used in conjunction with the full treatment plan for depression. So you always want to consult a health professional. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you don't have any other type of medical condition that you're confusing with this, because there's a lot of things that could mimic this type of depression.
Right.
So get evaluated by a medical professional. That's really critical.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We're talking today about seasonal affective disorder. Do the winter blues get you down? More right after this.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, he knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, he wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control. No matter how much we think we do, he does. And third, he wants us to trust him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who he says he is, or he will do what he says he will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse his goodness, accept his grace, and walk in the confidence that he is in control and he's working all things for your good.
Hi, I'm Chris Weigel, co-host of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you want to share a thought with Dr. Linda, just tweet at Dr. Linda Mental. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has a great book on depression called Breaking Free from Depression. You can find it on Amazon and other online sites as well. It's pocket size and it's easy to read, and also incorporates scripture with mental health as well. And Dr. Linda, in the last segment of our show, we like to incorporate scripture as it relates to the topic. I imagine there are a number of listeners who have felt embarrassed or even afraid to talk about feeling depressed this time of year.
Yeah, isn't that sad that we have those feelings? It's such a stigma still for so many people. Unfortunately, when people are depressed, they're afraid to tell people.
Right.
Do you find that to be true when you're talking to people, even in the church? Do people readily admit that, yeah, I'm really struggling?
No, they don't. I think it's perceived as a weakness.
It is.
Like you don't have yourself together if you're depressed or you have anxiety.
Or there's a lack of faith somehow in your life. And the more we know about depression, this is a biological thing we're talking about, where you have this sensitivity to the light. To just look at somebody and say they're depressed and there must be something wrong in their life, rather than understanding that it's a lot of things, biology, environment, the way you think of things in your life and accept responsibility or don't. There's so many things that confound depression, and genetics is one of those things, and physiology is one of them. While I think we really need to help people acknowledge that they're feeling depressed so that they don't feel like they're judged and then they don't get the help that they need. Depression is complex, and it's not easy to talk about. We got to help them with this. I love Luke 11:34. It tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body. I found that so interesting because this type of depression, the light goes through the eye.
True.
That's where it goes. Right. It goes into the eye and into the brain. And this scripture says the eye is the lamp of the body. I think that fits beautifully with the fact that light treatment we've been talking about goes through the eye, the lamp of the body, and that through that lamp, it impacts our body in ways that help lift our mood.
Wow, that is true. And, you know, light of the Bible usually talks about God, holiness, faith, and truth. And in John 18:12, Jesus refers to himself as the light. He says, I'm the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's saying that as we follow the light, we stay in his truth and his guidance. And that helps us deal with depressions of all types.
So we've got physical thing going on where we say, follow the light, find the light, sit in the light, get the sunlight this year. But we're also saying, stay in the light of Jesus Christ during this time. Stay in the scripture, because the scripture helps each one of us renew our mind. And that's a part always involved in depression, because when you start getting depressed, you start feeling hopeless. And you start to think this is never going to get better. Things are looking down. I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this. And if you renew your mind with the light of the world, who is Jesus, and you keep renewing your mind with the word, because Jesus is the word, then it helps lift your mood. Psalm 119:105 says, your word, Jesus, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In addition to using light to help us feel better physically, we're going to stay in that light, and we're going to read about the light and how it impacts us, praying, believing, knowing that there's a hope and a future because of this glorious light that we have been given.
Right. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold in my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is our anchor and hope. It's important to remind ourselves of these truths when we feel depressed. Who else can you turn to?
Well, and that is such a powerful scripture to me. I love Psalm 27:1. Mm-hmm. We get afraid of a lot of things in life. And when we know that the Lord is our stronghold, that means we are not going to have to be afraid, because he is there for us. He is fighting our battles. He is with us through whatever we're facing. That idea of an anchor. Mm. We're not just flailing around. We have hope in him. There's so much packed into that verse that as we renew our mind, we have to keep telling ourselves, this is the truth. The truth is not that it's hopeless. And unfortunately, when people get to the point where they start to contemplate suicide, they get into this narrow, narrow thinking that there's nothing else that can stop the pain. Mm. Jesus wants you to know by his word that there is so much that can stop the pain, and that is him, and that is his light. John 1:5 on light. There's many of these in the Bible. If you want to Google scriptures that have to do with light, you'll have a whole bunch of them that will come up. I love that about Google, don't you? That you can do that, that you could get on. Before, I had to get my Bible and look at the index and then try to find the keyword. And
the concordance.
Yeah, now you can Google it and you'll get all these scriptures that come to you really quickly. This one says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Right there. That is hope, that the light is shining in your darkness and you're feeling sad, but the light is going to overcome that darkness. And that is a powerful word about Jesus's ability to break through whatever darkness we're feeling and for us not to feel overwhelmed by it. I want people to understand that while there is a physical cause sometimes to depression and there's genetic factors that predispose some of us to depression and others not, while there are childhood factors and environmental factors, there is so much we can do to get on the other side of this. Mm-hmm. When we read the scripture, we know the Lord, and we use his word to continuously renew our mind and encourage us. At the end of each of the chapters of Breaking Free from Depression, that little booklet that I wrote, I end with a prayer. I want to close with one of those prayers. Is that okay?
Well, let's do it. Sure.
Okay. Lord, please bring your light into my darkness, renewing my mind and healing my emotional pain. I trust you, and I want to experience joy and gladness that is promised in your word. Thank you for taking me out of the darkness and into your glorious light. Amen. I hope that's a word for you. We're praying for you. There are people in your life that are praying for you. If you're struggling, we hope that you go to a church or you know a fellow Christian who will not have that stigma towards depression and will talk to you about feeling depression. The thing I want to say is that there's so much hope and help in this area. When you partner God with what we also know that works on a practical sense, there's great hope for people that are struggling with that. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Jamie Hall, our social media director, Cody Gokenhauer, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to you, my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.